Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Duh, where were you yesterday? Oh, we started the week shaking the Monday morning blues with a parade party. Yes, yes, yes. We were giving God thanks. You know, I'm talking it. You know, still doing what I do, giving my little opening. I gave the recap for last weekend. All of a sudden, a parade came out of my mouth, and I just couldn't keep it to myself. You know how it goes down. Yeah. Amazing. God is amazing. And just the more I talked, the more I was amazed at God, and the more I was amazed at God, the more I just couldn't keep it to myself. Oh, my goodness. And we started talking about rejoicing. And while I was rejoicing yesterday, and the due time crew, they started talking about why they were rejoicing. And then our listening audience started praising God and talking about why they were rejoicing. And oh my goodness, it just got to be a praise party up in here, up in here. Oh, I had me a good old time, a good old time. And you know, we got to talking, and you know, we started talking about, you know, people are praying for all these things that we take for granted. You know, God just continues to pour and pour and pour into our lives. He continues to invest and invest and invest in our lives. And, you know, there are people who are actually begging and praying for the stuff that we just get so freely. And I don't think we're really catching this thing here. And my concern is that we might be taking these things for granted. Yeah. And then we were talking about, you know, we have positioned, you know, we've learned to position ourselves to learn what? Yeah. Yeah. You know, God is amazing. You know, whenever we position ourselves for the blessing, He always steps in and blesses us. Yeah, you can rely on that. And as they used to say, you could take that to the bank. That's right. There's two things I know about the Lord. One, if you position yourself to be blessed, you will be blessed. And number two, the Spirit of the Lord will always do its job. Those two things, you can't tell Pastor Steph a thing about. I got to say, because I know the Lord. And the one thing I know is that he will never fail you. Oh, that makes me think. Yes. So, again, you know, we got to talking about them things. And, you know, it was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience. And I'm so glad. And I give God thanks that I have this ability to, you know, to kind of do this thing here. Well, we could not finish off the morning without the switch tip with Shanti. And yesterday's tip was tap into that different energy. Now, yesterday, she gave some interchangeable words, so she was able to give that switch tip almost like in three different languages. Yeah, you know, she's becoming real savvy at this switch tip thing. He broke it down and started with pictures and words, and I thought we were getting three different switch tips. Yeah. You know, you really got to tap into something different when you see that what you're doing isn't working or isn't quite getting the results that God would want. Oh, there we go, there we go, there we go. The results that God wants, not the results that we want. The results that God is looking for. Yeah. You got to position yourself. You got to position yourself. If you don't position yourself, there's no way in the world you're going to tap into anything. No, it don't work like that. Now, you know, everything has to be in alignment and order and in its proper place in order for things to have the result that God needs. And I think we need to start thinking about that a little bit more. Am I chasing something that God wants, or am I chasing something that I want? Am I looking to get out of this what God wants, or am I looking to get out of this what I want to see? Is what I'm doing, does it matter to God, or does it just matter to me? Oh, my goodness, don't get me started this morning, because you know today's church folk day, but, you know, so I can get to the church folk. But yeah, when I start thinking about all of these things, yeah. All these things start surfacing, all of these start surfacing. You know, John T says, tap into that different energy. And I think we're so busy chasing the same thing in life. And we don't see the results that we should be getting. And instead of us stopping and kind of taking that detour that is going to get us on the right path, we keep going down that one-way street. It's almost like every time you make that turn, it's another one-way dead-end street. And we all know that you're not going to get very far. A one-way street will eventually end. Yeah. It's definitely going to end quicker than a two-way street. So we don't want to keep turning around and making those turns and stepping onto that one-way street, that's a dead end. We want to make sure we tap into that energy and we seek God. In everything we do, we need to seek God. Everything. Everything we do. And let me tell you something. If you're not looking at what's going on out here, if you're not truly paying attention to what's going on out here, then you're going to keep on doing that same wrong thing. Because if you're not looking at the fate and the result of this world and the result of this world's behavior and decisions, and you don't see that this is taking everybody down to a dead-end road, a dead-end street, then we ain't never going to get it. Nope. And we're going to keep making the same mistakes. So tap into a different page. You just might get the results that God wants. Oh, well, there we go. So that's how we spend our Monday. Praising God. Praising God. And praising God. Amen. So today, is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And I got all my news from yesterday. I got my new news from last night that I kind of accumulated. Then I figured out what stories I want to talk about, because I got some stuff now. And I'm looking forward to spending the morning with you. And I hope you're looking forward to spending the morning with me. Because I don't know what God is about to do. So you want to join me? All right now. I got some stuff coming up. I've been booking some guests for the show. Man, we're going back into the swing of things of having some guests. That's another reason why I'm kind of psyched. IV Town Crew has been doing a phenomenal job. Now the gates are about to open up a little bit and let some new voices be heard. And I'm really excited. I'm really, really, really excited. There's been some stuff going on out here in the Christian world. There's been some Christian movement. And we're about to take part in it. And we're about to be blessed by it. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. We're about to get this morning started. So come on, come on. Go get that healthy breakfast. Yes. Go get that healthy breakfast. And come on, come on. Make sure that you tell somebody. It's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I was diagnosed with PTSD. I got out and was sort of on my own.
Since 2003, more than 103,000 service members have been diagnosed with PTSD. Hope for the Warriors focuses not on what happened, but what happens next. Don't let them be forgotten. You can help restore hope to our military families.
My wife and my son are affected by combat, too.
Visit hopeforthewarriors.org today.
People know that they can turn to them and trust them.
Well, good morning to you, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes. And I feel like I want to continue that praise party from yesterday. Had a good time. Had a really good time yesterday. And giving God thanks that, you know, we have the freedom to do this thing. Yeah. Because everybody can't, you know, not everywhere you go, they have a freedom to praise God. Yeah. That ain't an easy thing to come by. No, sirree. So we got to give God thanks that if we want to shout, we can shout. If we want to jump, we can jump. If we want to praise God, we can praise God. If we want to raise a Bible in the air, we can raise that Bible in the air. If we want to raise our hands, we can just raise our hands. Whatever we want to do to praise the Lord, we actually have the freedom to do so. So, come on, let's get it done. I don't want to waste any time when I could be praising God. So I hope you feel the same way. And I got some stuff to talk to you about. Yeah. So let's get to talking. So I came across this last night. And I was like, yo, this is for real. I only looked at the first couple of points, but this list is signs you can't afford to buy a house. Yes. I was like, oh no, we gotta go through this. I didn't stumble across this for nothing. Signs that you can't afford to buy that house. Well, one, you don't have a steady paycheck. Come on now. What we doing here? Well, you know, it's one thing for the bank to have their checks and balances and on their checklist your income or a solid, steady income is on their list. But it needs to be on your list. Yo. You know, you really can't afford to buy that house if you ain't got a steady paycheck, if your income is fluctuating from one minute to the next. You know, really, it's something that you got to think about. I mean, even the Bible says, who plans to build a house without counting up the cost? You can't count up no cost if you ain't got no money. You know what? So you need to really kind of survey your income, your job, you know, and if it's solid. You know, if it's looking kind of shaky, then you don't want to do that thing. You don't want to do that thing. Number two, signs that you can't buy that house, you can't afford that house, anything like that. Make sure I got the title right. Signs you can't afford to buy that house. If the payment are taking up a large portion of your income. Yeah. How, did you work out a budget? Come on. Did you work out a budget? And, you know, one of the things that you can't really count in that budget, or let me put it in a different way. You need to make concessions for, and you need to have a plan B, is if part of your payment is coming, let's say, from a rental, in that. So if you can rent your attic or rent your basement or something like that, you know, because that's not always consistent. Because even if you have a consistent resident, that income ain't consistent. Because you cannot dictate when that resident gonna come and tell you, hey, I don't have it this month. Because, man, as a landlord, I have heard that quite a few times. I've even had people ask me, can we go fix the car instead of paying the rent? And I'll give you the rent a little later. Yeah, because without their car, they couldn't get back and forth to work. So they couldn't, you know, make it happen for themselves, so they couldn't make it happen for me. And your mortgage payment is due. So if that's your, you know, what that's your bread and butter, that might not be the best thing. Because, you know, when you got that mortgage payment, you also have taxes, you also got insurance, you also got utilities, any type of maintenance. God forbid something happened in the house. Yeah. So if that mortgage payment is eating up, you know, a huge chunk, then you may not very well be able to afford it. Yeah. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. We talking here. Oh, this is a big one. And I talk about this all the time to the congregants. Signs that you cannot afford that house, you don't have savings. I cannot understand how people have just assumed that they can make this thing work. And you have no rainy day shower backup. You have none of that. Because just like I said, you know, even if your part of your mortgage payment is coming or part of your income is coming from a rental, when they can't afford it, you need something to go, you know, fall back on. Yeah. So come on, be smart. Be smart. You know, if you're already living from paycheck to paycheck, then going to get a house is really not the best thing for you. Okay? You really can't afford that house. And listen to the terminology. You cannot afford the house. So don't get all twisted. Because listen, right now, we're trying to learn practical, logical skills. We're trying to learn practical and logical basics. All right? So come on, God is investing in us right now. If you think about going to buy that house, and if any of these things is on that list, you better step back. You can't afford the down payment. Yes. You know, a lot of times they do have these programs, you know, where, you know, first-time home owners, you don't have to have a huge down payment. Part of it is supplemented, or sometimes they even have a program where you don't have to pay a down payment at all. Well, please don't go into that plan and you don't have any part of a down payment. That's not smart, because if they're going to pay, if you're going to get into a program where they're going to pay the down payment, then you want to put a hefty amount on top of that, because remember, the more you put down, the less you owe at the end of the game. So the less you owe in total, your monthly obligation will be lower. Yes. So if the home is going to be $200,000 and they're going to put down $10,000, and you're only going to pay back $190,000, then put your own $10,000 down. So now you only owe $180,000. So come on, make sure you come on, get this plan together. So when you can't afford the down payment, then you know. That might be something you want to think about. Okay? Oh, baby. I've seen this happen. And I promise you, you don't want to do this thing. You cannot afford to buy a house if you need to take from your retirement account. What you going to do when it's time to retire? As a payroll administrator, I saw quite often people chewing away at their 401k for just unwise reasons. And then when it came down to it, you know, now they're struggling. You know, they are struggling. And you don't want to get, remember now, this is a 30-year plan. This is a 15-year plan. This is a 20-year plan. Sometimes you can even do a 20-year. And, you know, hey, you don't want to get to, you know, your right years and now you struggling. Because if you're struggling with a paycheck, what you gonna struggle, what you think gonna happen when you only got a retirement fund to fall back on? No, we gotta be smart. Let's make it happen the proper way. You don't have good credit. You can't afford to buy a house when you don't have good credit. Why? Because the worse your credit score is, the higher your interest rate is going to be, and the more you're going to have to pay. So when you have a good credit score, you can pretty much name the game. Yeah. You can set, you know, whether I don't want to go for this 30-year plan. I only want to go for a 20 or a 15-year plan because the payments are going to be nice and decent enough that you can afford that, you know, a little higher payment so that you can, you know, kind of move a little bit free. You want to move freely. And when you don't have good credit, they're feeling like they gotta take a bigger risk on you. They may give you the loan because, you know, a lot of people get, you know, homes with, you know, not so good credit. But when they feel like they're taking a risk on you, you're gonna pay the price for that one. Oh, trust me. You're going to pay the price for that one. And you don't want to start off like that because now everything is going to be higher. Everything is going to be more expensive. And remember now, more expensive means you're going to have a higher payment. Even if it's another $500, $600, that's a lot of money because that's money that could be put onto your utilities or into that savings or, you know, you got that rainy day fund for like just for the house repairs. Yeah. You know, if you got your budget and everything set up right and everything is affordable, then you can have just a savings. You can have a vacation fund. You can have a fund just for the house that you don't have to touch this main savings. Yeah, you can maneuver and get this thing done. So don't step outside your don't step outside your means. So I'm gonna go over these signs that you can't afford to buy a house. You don't have a steady paycheck. It's a large portion of your monthly income, so get that budget together. You don't have savings. You can't afford the down payment. You don't want to go borrowing that. you're taking from your retirement account and you don't have good credit. Okay? Get that credit in the sevens and that eight, and get that savings together and get that budget worked out. And one thing that you need to do before you even start working toward that house is pray. Pray and ask God, should we, can we, could we? Yes. Is that what you want? Because, you know, our house is wonderful to have, but it ain't for everybody. I'm sorry. I don't mean to break your heart. I don't need to break your heart. All right, what we talking about today? What kind of news we got? Well, Nigeria is going buck wild, y'all. Yes, have everything in the news. I just haven't been talking about it much. But every time you turn around, Nigeria's got a lot of killings going on. I don't know what's going on in that country. But I wonder if they're listening to his D-Town with Pastor Steph. I think they are on our list of 48 countries. But see, that's why you need it in other countries. You don't know who you're going to talk. But yeah, they have been going buck wild. And every time you turn around, somebody is dying. Well, they are so out of control. They have, now I'm a little confused with the story myself because I had to read it a couple of times. It doesn't quite make sense, but we're going to talk about it anyway because the gist of it is just kind of sick. So there's this big wedding celebration that's going on, or that's supposed to go on. And they say that, that's what I can't understand, because it says a Nigerian couple have put their wedding celebrations on hold after gunmen abducted at least 29 guests traveling home from the ceremony. So I don't understand what that means. But it's a different country. Maybe they celebrate like in increments or something. I don't know. But it seems like they said, as the people were traveling home, what happened was the car that they were in broke down. Yeah, they say one of the cars in the convoy developed a brake fault, and they went to like a repair shop. And when they finished getting the car repaired, as they pulled off from there, they say they were ambushed and taken, like held hostage. And they were friends of the groom. And they started shooting at one of the men, and he just like got away. He got away by the skin of his teeth. He said he don't know how he managed to get away. But he managed to get away and get a hold of one of the phones, and the gunman called and told someone that they were holding 29 people, and they're also demanding a ransom. Okay, and they say that kidnappings for ransom by armed criminal gangs are common in Nigeria. And they say they often target travelers on dangerous roads as well as unprotected rural communities, with victims usually released after the ransom payment. So they ain't playing, because here's what happens. When one person pays, it puts pressure on the next individual. And when that individual pays, it puts pressure on the next individual. So now it becomes like their thing, because they're figuring, you know what? Well, everybody else paid. We're approaching you to pay, and you better pay, or either we're going to start killing some folks. So they're like, this is sick, because they're saying in March they had a train traveling from the capital out in Nigeria, and that was attacked, and more than 60 people were taken hostage. So they are really just losing it out in Nigeria. So they're saying that the government wants to outlaw the paying of the ransom in order to make kidnapping less lucrative. That's what I'm saying. Because once one person pays, it puts pressure on everybody else behind them, because they're really saying to themselves, well, if these people pay, then guess what? You're going to pay or else. So that's where this stands right now. They're not saying that this has ended. They're not saying that this is something that they're coming to some kind of an end or a negotiation or, nah, they ain't saying none of that. So it looks like these people are still being helped. Yeah. So we're going to pray, for those people. We're really going to pray for them, because this is sick. So I came across this other news that was really weird. This is really weird. And you know what I just thought about? They always say that elephants have a big memory. Well, maybe there's some truth to that, because they're saying that this 70-year-old woman in India was trampled to death by an elephant. And as they were having, okay, so let's go back. So they say she was fetching water from a well in eastern India on a Thursday, and an elephant came barreling toward her, and it says it trampled her. And it escaped. Kept on going. So they say that the family then was performing like her last rites. Like, in other words, like funeral, they were having a funeral for her. The elephant, the same elephant, returned, grabbed her body with the tusks, threw the corpse in the air, and ran away. And the family continued the ceremony. And the elephant didn't return. Well, what would he be returning for? He didn't. So this elephant, how you end up with the same elephant showing up at your funeral, picking you up, throwing you in the air, and running off? That's why I say, they say elephants have a big memory. But maybe he should have made him mad at some time, and he just didn't forget. But my thing is, Shanti sure needs information. If the elephant comes, why you burying me in the backyard and throw my body, please don't continue like nothing happened. How? Ain't no way in the world. I just got finished burying my mother. Ain't no way in the world I could imagine myself. We have in the funeral services, the elephant comes through, takes Ernie, throws her up in the air, runs off, and we're going to look at. Okay, so we were at Reflection. Would anybody else like to say anything, about Ernie? Really, y'all? Man, I'm telling you, let's talk about it Tuesday, y'all. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, here's some good news, and I definitely wanted to share this with you all. There's a young lady in Florida, and she's a senior who's getting ready to graduate high school. This young lady was accepted into every single Ivy League school, every single Ivy League school. Miss Ashley Adarica applied. She said, you know, it was time for her to apply. And she just said, you know what? What the heck? Let me apply for all of them. Let me just see what they say. Who wants me? She had no idea that she would get into Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Penn, Princeton, and Yale. Homegirl got into every single Ivy League school. And I definitely wanted to salute her. She is the first generation Nigerian African to accomplish. And talk about God in your corner. She said, you know, I just decided to shoot my shot, all of them. And this here, she said, the tears just came. I mean, I can only imagine. You know, we've been talking about these kids who have been out of control, and it brings such joy to my heart to be able to say, not only that this young lady, regardless of race, regardless of her religion, regardless of where she comes from, was able to accomplish this, but especially that she's one of us. So she chose Harvard. That was her choice. And it says Harvard, which only accepted a record low of 3.19% of applications. Yep. In the 3.19%, Miss Ashley was chosen to be a part of the class of 2026. So we salute you, Miss Ashley. We give God thanks for your life. It's so exciting to, you know, to see, you know, just a young person, period. Just a young person, period, you know, do her thing. And we want to make sure, you know, we're always talking about the negative stuff. You know, we want to talk about the good stuff as well. Okay. What else are we going to talk about today? Let me see what this one is. I want to talk about something good and juicy. Okay, y'all. I know I had something that's kind of weird. Today's going to be a weird day. So in North Carolina, there's this company who is offering homeowners $2,000 in order for them to allow 100 cockroaches to be released into their homes. Now, you can pretty much figure out what this is. So you've got this pest control company who's making this offer because they have this new product and they want to try it out. So they said 5 to 7 household owners will be selected for this study, and they will allow the release of 100 American cockroaches into their home. Give them permission to film and test out a specific cockroach treatment. Now, at the end of the cockroach infestation, if it isn't gone, This company says it will use traditional cockroach treatment options at no cost. Well, I'm a little lost, because this don't sound like it's a big win-win situation. So they said it because they're going to take 30 days to do this, that the treatment is going to be family and pet safe. And my thing is, you got the nerve to say to me, if it don't work, I'm going to need that same $2,000 to get rid of not only the cockroaches that you brought into the house, but for the ones that then multiplied, or the ones that are residual for the ones you put in the house. I'm sorry. $2,000? Nah. Come on, give me a hit. 347-285-7777 and let me know if $2,000 for this test and trial would be interesting to you. Would this test be interesting to you? You know, sometimes people look at $2,000, you know, every, I keep saying, was someone's trash or someone else's treasure. And, you know, hey, that might work for you. So I'm interested in knowing if it's worth putting 100 cockroaches in my house, and then I might be left with these things. Because, see, you ain't giving me no guarantee. And $2,000? Like I said, it might cost me more than that to get rid of all of the cockroaches that's left up in there. Oh no, them things get all up in the walls, and you know how, man? No, not for Stephanie. Well, I'm ending off with a very, very. This is bad. Out in Georgia, they have a father, and I'm sure this had to be on the news. You know, I don't look at the news, so I couldn't tell you. But I ain't no way in the world you're going to tell me that this wasn't on the news. So I want to talk about this today. A father abducted his one-year-old daughter, and he shoots and kills the mother, who had other children, and he shoots her mother in the head twice. And then he shoots the one-year-old. And then he shoots himself. So they say an Amber Alert went out when the one-year-old, her grandmother called the authorities and said that her father had abducted her. And she told the authorities that the mother had been shot to death and she had been shot in the head. So thank God she was even able to talk. And later on, he went behind the Riverside United Methodist Church, and that's where he shot the little girl and himself. They don't know what was going on. They don't have any account or reports of any fighting or disagreements, or if they were married and now this is a divorce issue. They said they really have no idea what happened. And because mom is no longer here, she can't explain what happened. Now, again, she had two other children. And, you know, thank God he didn't do anything to them. But why would you kill the baby? You know, again, you know, we're talking about you know, we've been talking about this for quite some time now. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, if we don't catch that, if we don't keep ourselves together, we don't know where our head is going to be. You know, we always look at these things and we shake our head and we're like, oh, my God, this wouldn't be me. And no, on the grand scheme of things, it wouldn't be you. But pretty much, you know, okay, so you wouldn't kill somebody, but what else, you know, would you do or could you do? Well, unfortunately, he could shoot the mother of the child, shoot the grandmother in the head, shoot the one-year-old, and shoot himself. And I always say people who take kids out on their mission, they're really sick. They're really sick. Because these children have nothing to do with anything. They don't ask to come here. They are innocent. Now, you know if anyone's innocent, this one-year-old is innocent. You know, so hopefully, you know, once grandma, they say grandma made it. Thank God. She was shot twice in the head. But she's in critical condition in the trauma unit of the hospital. But thank God that, you know, I don't know what kind of quality of life she'll have. You know, she may, you know, may make it. She was well enough to call the cops. So, you know, thank God for her even, excuse me, she was able to make it. She said, excuse me, that this is a lot. And I'm hoping, that's what she said, this is a lot. And I'm hoping that she makes it so at least she can shed some light on what happened and can't bring nobody back. But at least it'll make a little sense as to what happened. Let's talk to our panel this morning, the Duke Town crew. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene. You still in that praise mode, girl?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, I'm here. How are you today?
I'm still in that praise mode. I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Let's talk. So, Nigeria, have you been listening to the news and have you caught wind of these Nigerians going buck wild?
I don't watch the news. My husband watches the news. I don't do that because every time it's always something else. It just gets so depressing for me.
Okay. Well, if Pastor Ed were here, we'd have the whole history of Nigeria country. But since Pastor Ed is not here to give us our history report, yeah, so now there's this thing that they have kind of caught on to, and they're now kidnapping people for ransom. And because this has become so lucrative for them, they are going extra on this thing here. So they then already busted up into another area. They didn't, on a train, they then took the 60 people hostage, got ransom for them. Now they're holding 29 people hostage who was a part of this wedding ceremony. Now, can you imagine going to the wedding? You're on the road, the car breaks down, that's one thing. Y'all done got this car fixed, 2 miles down, now y'all being kidnapped. Pastor Charlene.
Crazy. That is crazy. No, I can't imagine that because, first of all, once the car broke down, you know, everybody got an attitude because now we waiting for hours to get it fixed. That was my first thought.
So
now everybody mad, from happy to everybody arguing with each other because everybody, you know, we all do the blame game. And then for us to get there and now y'all want to hold us ransom, I'll be like, I ain't got no money. My people ain't got no money. You talking about each person, 29 people. We done gave what we had to the bride and groom. And you coming for us, we broke.
Right. I mean, come from, you know, and Nigeria is not this wealthy country. I don't understand. It's the same thing like, now, Nigeria may not be where Haiti is, but they were doing all of this ransoming and stuff at one point. But again, it just shows the deterioration of this world where you just got people on the train. If we had money, would we be on a train? It's like, what are you thinking? You know what I'm saying, Pastor? It's like you riding the 7 train or you riding the 8 train and somebody going to come take y'all hostage. Half the people ain't got a dime. And these days and times, ain't nobody got no money, Pastor Charlotte. Like you said, you know, y'all coming from a festive, you know, event. And now, see, let me tell you something. When it's time to go home, girl, it's time to go home. Don't be interfering with the ride home, Pastor Charlotte. I ain't lying. It's time to go home. And now you're talking about I got to be sitting here waiting for somebody to pay for me? Oh, man.
And another thing, too, was funny is because you don't spend your money, because you know how we do. We got to get the outfit, the shoes, the pocketbook, get our nails done, hair done, teeth done. We done danced all night. My feet hurt. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and now you trying to take me? Listen, you in the wrong part of town. It made me think, when you just talking, I thought about how everybody rob the people where they live at. You ain't go downtown. Go down there where there's the money at. You're robbing the poor from the poor. Come on now, really?
Right.
You probably know their children. Ain't that kind of so fun?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Pastor Charlotte. Okay. So your children are funeralizing you. Because you were out, you know, minding your business. Let me see what they said she was doing again. She was fetching water from the well. You were fetching water from the well. And now the elephant comes by and he tramples you. And after he tramples you, they funeralize you. And after while they're funeralizing you, here you go. The elephant comes back, picks you up, throws you, and they keep on having the funeral.
Well, she was going at the well getting some water. She wouldn't give him none. He caught an attitude. So he scrambles up. But now they at the funeral. She already dead, so mommy gone already. So we might as well keep going because we about to go get this food and at his party. So my kids, they probably like, he's dead already. He ain't mess with us. We good.
Oh,
he came back because
he
ain't had enough.
Now that was, when I read that story last night, I was like, really? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, let's celebrate today at this Miss Ashley, who is going to Harvard after being accepted to every single Ivy League school. What do you want to say this morning?
Hallelujah for her. I thought that was wonderful. I didn't take out my tamarind today, but I would have tamarined her for her. I thought that was so beautiful. She stepped out on faith, and she said, you know what? I'm going to try it, and let's see, because if you don't never try, you'll never know. So her being accepted to everything, it showed other people how they can take a chance. You know, and you don't know what God has for her. And he's able to open up all the doors where she's able to pick what she wanted to pick. Everybody
right.
gonna get that opportunity.
That's right.
Everybody
That's right.
gonna get it. We go with, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm agreeing with you. You're right.
Oh, because most of the times we go with what we can afford, you know, oh, I can't afford to go away. I can't afford to do this. You never know. You never know what you're able to do. Just like grants. A lot of people won't do the grants, but they have some where that, you know, if you write with your left hand, you can get money. If you do this, you can get money. But a lot of times we don't encourage our children just to go out there and have faith. Pray about it and just let God be able to, those doors that we think that are never open, he'll open up some of them doors for you. So I applaud her. I thank God that she was able to be able to select where she wanted to go. So I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. So Pastor Charlene, one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take this $2,000 for them to put 100 cockroaches in your house and try their new infestation product?
My first answer was no, because we know them roaches is hard to get rid of. And then I said, well, can it be 2,000 a roach? Because while they infested my house, I can go and live somewhere else.
You know
I want
what?
2,000 each one. Each one.
You know what? I know the answer is no. I can tell you that now. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for joining us this morning. We're going to talk to Pastor KL. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Stan. How are you today?
I am doing really well. Thank you. I'm still in my praise mode, Pastor KL, from yesterday. All right now. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored of God.
Well, blessed and highly favored man. Let's take a trip to Nigeria. Yo, they are going off out there. They're snatching up folks, asking for money. This seems to be the thing to do. And they are now trying to come up with a law that says, you know, No. We're not doing this ransom thing because y'all really on the come up. What's going on?
Well, first of all, if I may, if anybody really knows about men, I'm blaming the wife for this one. Because the wife that made me go to a wedding that I didn't want to go to. Now, we got to go see Sally and her cross-eyed fiance. He ain't going to be able to know my man. I ain't going to know he's talking to me because when he starts looking at me, I'm thinking he'll be looking at somebody else. So I'm already stuck at this wedding. And now I'm ready to go home, and somebody's asking me for money. I had to pay for a gift that I didn't want to buy in the first place. You beg me to go because we don't do this family thing together, and it'll be embarrassing if I go by myself. So now I'm dragged to this wedding. Y'all singing songs I ain't never heard in my life. We dancing to stuff I don't even know the dances to. And now you want money and ransom. I'm saying take the wife and let me go. And that's my final answer.
Yo, this is like crazy. You know, just like I was saying to Pastor Charlene, first of all, it's hard to get me out the house. I go lie. You don't call me today for tomorrow. That just don't work. Just don't work. Because I'm canceling doctor's appointments and everything. I ain't lying. I hate it. I hate leaving the house. So now I done did all of this. Like Pastor Charlene said, I done went and shopped and got gifts and, you know, I pulled down and put my pantyhose on, and I didn't put my best on, and now I can't go home, man.
Let me just interject on that, too. Sister Steph, you ain't wearing no pantyhose in Nigeria. You know how hot it is in Nigeria? The reception outside. Who got time for this? I'm already dripping from the heat exhaustion, and then you want to get at me. You ain't got no AC on the truck. No nothing. I'm on the back of the wagon. Can a brother just go back to his hut? I'm just saying.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's funny because I thought about the same thing. I'm like, okay, so the car didn't broke down. Y'all sitting out in the heat. We don't know how long it took from where, you know, where the car broke down. And now, you know, you've been sitting there and then finally how you. Maybe y'all had to push the truck. You know what I'm saying?
In my good clothes.
You had to put the truck in with your sandals on, and yo, and then we had to wait, like Pastor Charlotte said. Now we hungry all over again, and I can't get home. Man, we about to have some problems. I don't know, Pastor Cleo. Let's talk about this. Your family is burying you. Let's set the stage. You done went out to the well to get the water. The elephant found you, trampled you. Your family is now funeralizing you. And the same elephant has come through, scooped you up, threw you up in the air, tossed you to the side, and your family just keeps it moving.
Well, first of all, you done picked this elephant off a time or two. Because
what'd you say?
Elephant.
Wait, what?
I said, you done pissed this elephant off a time or two. You know, elephants ain't just going to bother you. They either spooked or you pissed them off. And they trampled your behind. Now, let's get to the funeral. He comes back and realizes that you laying down. He thinks you sleeping. He don't know you dead. So
right.
He's trying to finish you off. He's trying to finish you off. Now, the family is saying, hey, Mobutu, we paying about an hour. We got to keep on going. Mama already gone. But this is costing us, and she didn't have that much insurance. So we got to keep on going. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to figure out why they're bringing up this funeral. And then they bring up the funeral list where the elephant comes and snatches her up and tosses her. And like you said, he don't know dead, you know. And then when I read, I was like, and then they kept on going? Goodness gracious, I tell you.
Listen, you're paying about an hour. You got to keep going, baby.
I guess
the preacher
so.
Got to get up there.
I guess so. I guess he got the vocalist got to be paid and the organist got to be paid and yeah, everybody got to be paid. Life
and then we
goes
outside.
On.
Get outside. The elephant ain't come to the church. We outside.
Yeah. Again, we outside in India.
Right. India.
Oh goodness. In India,
if you're at the well getting water, we ain't got no water on the inside. We outside.
And not only that, how much water we got when she even got trampled getting the water? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, Pastor KL, if Miss Ashley, this 17-year-old Ivy League young lady, were in front of you, what would you say to her?
Man, listen, I salute you, young lady. I salute you. You have beaten all the odds. You know, you went for your dreams. You went and reached the impossible dreams. And I salute you. You know, you show that what you know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, you are a billboard for all these young men and all these young ladies that you can say you can be anything that you want to be if you just have the faith.
Amen. All right, Pastor KL, the last thing I'm going to ask you about, $2,000, 100 cockroaches in your house. Is it a yes or is it a no?
Well, first of all, I think you skipped over the part that you said. You know, I'm trying to figure out, was the incentive that they were American cockroaches? Like, were
yes.
they different from Jamaican roaches? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Were Jamaican roaches, would the price be higher? I'm just trying to say, what was the incentive? It couldn't have been the $2,000. Because I don't okay. want one roach in my house. I don't want one roach. Let alone I see a couple of roaches. I see more than one roach. We calling the exterminator today. We not doing no experiments on roaches in the house. I just can't. And now that you say, but they're American roaches, what that mean? They don't bite? I mean, I'm trying to understand what's the difference between American and Jamaican. No, we not having no roaches in my house. None at all. We got to move.
All righty. Come on, 347-285-7777. Let me know if you would go for this experiment. I mean, we said no, but you might be saying yes. Come on, help us out here. Thank you, Pastor KL, for joining us this morning. And we're going to say good morning to our lady, Tamika. We don't have our Pastor Ed with us today. Well, we've always got Lady Tamika, thank God. Good morning.
Good morning, and top of the Tuesday to you.
Well, wait a minute now. I don't think you want to know the way that just sounded. Are you on a headset?
Unfortunately, yes, I am. I'm trying to multitask.
You sound like you have roaches in your house.
Yeah, you sound like one of those people who's using that box to disguise their voice because they don't want the people to know that they didn't took you for that you didn't took the family for ransom. So you trying to disguise who you are? We can't hear you at all. Yeah, at all.
I might go with
Bow Wow today. Okay. Well, thank you for being willing to step in. We so appreciate you. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you.
You as well.
All right, Shantice, it's on you, girl. You're always our other ram in the bush. We're going to stick you in here today. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing okay. A little headache, but doing good. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Would you like to bow out?
No. I can chime in.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, so we got these Nigerians who are holding people for ransom. They don't even seem to be going for, like, the rich folks. What's going on with y'all? Y'all going for the everyday people. So you know they don't have high, they don't have a high standard. What's your thoughts?
I think it's just getting so remedial now because there's no plans. He was talking about plans on Sabbath. There's just no plans. There's no strategy. It's just I wake up with this thought and I'm just going with it. I'm going to shoot my shot. Whatever happens, if I get 5 hours, and that's $5 more than what we had before we came and decided we wanted to hold people hostage.
Yeah. They got 60 people on the train, 29 people coming from the wedding. I don't think they really looking to get a lot of money. That doesn't seem like that's going to be the thing. I don't think they're getting a lot of money. All right. So, let's talk about this elephant issue. you know, the poor little elephant, you know, he still thinks he's got a vendetta to settle. So even after he tramples the woman at the well, he comes back to finish her off. Can you imagine the body laying there and the elephant coming, snatching her up and throwing her somewhere? And the wedding and the funeral keeps on going.
I'm sorry, you said the funeral what?
The funeral keeps on going.
It's not funny. It's like, what? Oh my gosh. And where was this again?
This is in India. Now, you just got finished burying Grandma Ernie. If the elephant did that to Grandma Ernie, could you continue?
No. Continue what? We got to kill this elephant. What is? No, we gotta die.
See, that's why we have you on this morning. Because I actually could have left it with Pastor Charlotte and Pastor Dale, but I was like, nah, we're going to add something to their crazy equation. We can't leave them alone this morning. The elephant got to die.
Yes, he must die. Oh. Too much going on. I'm already grieving. No.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so listen, what do you want to say to Miss Ashley this morning? You know, it's funny because I was looking at the rest of the article, and I remember you talking to the kids the other day, and I think Miss Satch was the one who brought up the fact that they look at all of your junior high school grades as well when you are, you know, being pursued for colleges or when you're applying to colleges. And it says here she was in the school's debate team, that she all her test scores went through the roof when she was in the seventh grade. And you know, she's been pumping this out since she was an early little student, and now here she is. And I guess this is something you can take to the children, you know, that she now applied for every single Ivy League school and got accepted. What do you want to say to her if she was standing in front of you?
I don't like her because she's making me look worse, but I ain't finished college. Now, it's really, I definitely have to take this to the kids because, you know, they think that they can just do whatever now, and whatever I do now only matters for now. So, you know, big kudos to her for, see, because she kept us, she had those habits from when she was younger, and she kept those habits up, and that's exactly what I was saying to the kids. The habits you have from now, if you don't check these habits now, these habits you have in elementary, you take them in junior high, you take them in high school, and if you even go to college, you take those habits with you to college. So it's really, really, really good that she kept all of that up, because look at how she just kept that train within herself going, and that's why she's able to do what she's doing now. So that's really good.
All righty. All right. I don't have to ask you, but I'll give you an opportunity to answer. 100 cockroaches for $2,000. Behind door number one. Are you telling them to open up door number one?
What? My headache must have had me delusional during that story. What was it real quick? I'm sorry.
Okay, so this North Carolina company, which needs to say, you know, they're a pest control company, they have a new product, and they want to try it out. And what they're doing is they're offering $2,000 to each home who accepts this trial And if it works, then they wanna follow, they wanna videotape this. So I guess they're doing some kind of show or whatever. And they're saying if it doesn't work, they're willing to try like conventional methods in order for free. You don't have to pay for the future treatment. Are you letting them do this?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said, before you explained it, it was like all I heard was roaches, and it's like absolutely not. But that's why I have to explain again. Yes, a listener sent in something with that. The listener sent in, only way that would be viable is if they already have roaches and hoping for a free pest control.
Oh, and that's a thought. That's a thought. But see, remember now, you have to be selected. So the person who wrote in, yeah, they didn't probably peek that already. And they were like, no, we ain't getting your current problem. We talking about somebody who ain't got no problem. And considering that you really can't put the roaches away until we go home, yeah, they're not trying this. They're not trying that. But that's a good thought. Good thought. All righty. Anything else from the listeners?
No.
Okay. Thank you for joining us today and filling in for us. You know, I saved this last story till last to kind of talk about this thing here. You know, the death and the shooting of this family. You know, so you've got this guy. I was trying to look and see how old he was. I don't know why I remember seeing he was like 35 or something to that effect. But he's not an older guy, pretty young. You know, for whatever the reason is, he shoots the mom. He kills her, mother of two other children. He shoots grandma, which is the woman's mother, in the head twice. Then he flees behind the church or onto the church property, and he shoots the one-year-old, and he shoots himself. And, you know, we've been talking about this, you know, for quite some time here. I want to talk about how the church moves forward. No, it didn't happen in the church. But with all of these, you know, let's go back a couple of weeks. You know, we're talking about the show. Well, let's go back a couple of years. The time when the gunman comes and he sits down in the Bible study, and I think it was in Carolina, and he kills the people in the church. You had a few weeks ago where the gunman had a problem with the Taiwanese people, nothing to do with those in the church either, but he shot, and remember, he was the one who had the cocktails and all of that ready to set the church on fire. This is not the first time we've had shootings in the church. Now you have this shooting that takes place on the church's property, and I brought it up because they had one of the members, they spoke to one of the members, and she says, I just could not believe it. I was just in shock because we've never had anything like this happen on our property. And, how does the church move forward, Pastor Charlotte, from all that is killing in the church, on the church property?
Well, one, when you were speaking it again, I thought of is showing that it's time for us to wake up, how we have been sleeping. How can we, you know, we say that we have the Holy Spirit. We say that we have spiritual discernment, but are we really so busy We're so busy all over seeing everything else, but we're not seeing when the enemy is coming towards. How we get past it? Well, for one, more prayer. More prayer, more being able to tune into the Lord, for one. And what makes it so sad is that all these warnings is showing us, but we still sleeping spiritually. We still sleeping and not paying attention with that. When we feel that someone is hurting, we shun them off. We shun them off. We make up stories for them of the behavior that they are having. What? That's a good question. I have to think about that. How can we get past that? Besides prayer, you know, you want to be able to have them walk. You know what I mean? And when we're so fast to just say prayer. We're so fast to, you know, trust in God. But how, as us as people of God, being able to stand? Let me give you an example. There was a situation where that a man, I was in the pulpit. I was in somebody else's church. And he walked in. And he had, nobody knew by the mask, you don't know who is who. And the guy walked in, and he was standing in the back. Nobody noticed this man standing in the back. But I must say, they saw him standing there, but nobody moved to go see who he was. I'm always on alert. So I asked one of the preachers, I said, you don't see that man standing right there? I said, somebody needs to go in the back of the church and see who he is. Because he's just standing there just looking, right? So come to find out that by us feeding on Fridays with the homeless, he was one of them. So he came in, he sat down, whatever the guy said to him, the preacher said to him, I guess it was okay. So when he came back, I said, who was he? So he said, oh, that he was here because he left something. So the guy gets up and go downstairs. Nobody goes with him. We're a target.
Wow.
We're a target. And that was my thing of how can we get to the place, because nobody is paying attention. Nobody is really watching the door. Just because we're all praying, you know how we come to the front, we go to the altar. Who's at the door? Who don't have their eyes closed? We are talking. And that's why I said that it's kind of hard, because I've been scuffling back and forth with that, with my own stuff of how can we do better and be on alert at the same time. So that's why I said that.
Okay. Wow. That's a good example. You know, how do we move forward when, you know, when we're not even paying attention to, ain't nobody man in the door. Like, let's go back to that, you know. So that's a good point. That's a good point. Pastor KL, let's talk about what Pastor Charlotte just said for a little bit. You know, you got somebody standing here and nobody's addressing him, approaching him. He's even going downstairs because he left something, and nobody goes with you? Really? Wow.
Right, right. And that goes, you know, when I see people at church, or I hear the preacher saying, you know, every eye closed and every bow head, you know, and then we begin to pray. But the Bible says watch as well as pray. It don't say close your eyes and all this stuff. How are we watching? You know, I mean, it's great to pray. You know, prayer is the key. But we have to be able to watch as well as pray. You know, we have to see what's going on. You know them that labor among you. We got to see what's going on around you. You know, and you also have to know what you're praying for. How do you know what you're praying for unless you can see, unless you're watching what's going on? You know, a lot of us are just oblivious, you know, to a lot of things, and we take it for granted because we are in the church. Or these are quote-unquote church folks, or they're coming to the church, that stuff is not happening. You know, again, watch as well as pray. You got to know your surroundings. And this is any way you go, not just in the church form, but any way you go, you got to know your surroundings. You got to know what's going on. So I think that's where we lose at church folks, because we become so gullible, and we become to a place where we believe that things are just not going to happen, not here.
Ah, and that's the point I'm trying to make. You know, at one point, and we talked about this before on church folk or day and other times, you know, whereas the church is to be a sacred place. I don't care what you did or what kind of lifestyle you led, or, you know, whether you were even married to the church or not. You just respected the church. I mean, people would ride by making the signs of the cross and all of that kind of stuff. Now you pulling out a gun, killing people inside the church. I mean, there's no safe place. So that's you know, part of what I'm talking about today. Shantice, you know, what's your thought on, let's just stick right here with the story that Pastor Charlene gave, you know, coming in, and like she said, you got a mask on, so we don't know who you are, and you just standing here, and everybody, ain't nowhere in the world. I could imagine, you know, somebody standing there, nobody addresses him, and then lets him go downstairs.
Pastor Charlene knew, because she used to be about some streets, and see, this reminds me. This reminds me of, and that's why, this is why I, like, really love her. Because, you know, it reminds me of the scripture God gave me about the, you know, don't be, this wasn't the title, but I wanted it to be the title because I thought it was too good. Don't be a dry Christian. You know, don't, because when you, like, that, there's no way. The congregation you have, Pastor Steph, picture the congregation you have, whether we were still based at home or if we had an official church building. Imagine your congregation, whether we in prayer or whatever, and somebody just walk in and we just look like, oh, okay, huh?
Yeah,
who you?
Been going
who you?
Down like
pull that mask, right. Before you can even get your foot across the doorstep, pull that mask down. Rihanna, you know him? Huh? Who's this? Oh, okay. No, there's no way. There's no way. And it's because, again, it also reminds me of habits. These are your habits even outside of church, that you would sit and watch someone come in and not even greet them. You know, mm-hmm. even if you're talking about what you're supposed to be doing in church you're supposed to greet whoever comes in. So already that shows you're not on point with doing that. And then for him to go downstairs, and then it wouldn't have been with just no one person. It would have been, I remember we were at work. I'll never forget, we were at work at Cheesecake Factory. Anyone who's been at Cheesecake Factory knows that most Cheesecake Factories, that's a big restaurant. And this one has two levels. And someone came in and asked to see, a guest came in and said, I need to see so-and-so. They went to, I think, a host. Most of the service and the managers was on alert, and we looking all down the stairs. Oh, no, I'm just going out to just talk real quick. We looking down the stairs, looking for, oh, you sure you good? Yeah, I know him. Even though they said they knew him, we still looking the whole time. You can't, and this is way before all this people just walking in the buildings and shooting, like this, before this became a trend. You have to be alert and on point, and it just really goes to show, like, what people care about, what they care to get involved with. You know, and it also, Pastor Steph, brought me to when you told me the story of a pastor going to another pastor and saying, hey, you know, I heard of this situation. What are we going to do about this? And they said, well, I don't get involved in domestic situations. And it's like, what? So because right. You don't want to get involved in anything, that's what made you so comfortable in even knowing that someone walked in this church and was just standing in the back. And not only you, but no, you didn't even send for someone else to go and inquire about who this was. It needs to be a little more street up in these churches. Yeah. Tell you, safe in the club.
You bring out some really good points, Shantice, really good points. One of the things that crossed my mind also, and I wanted to ask you all, do you think, you know, that this is another way the enemy is trying to keep people out the church? You know, since the pandemic, we've had a lot of people, you know, jump up and, you know, now, you know, they want to go to church and, you know, things have happened to them since they were kind of quarantined and isolated. And, you know, God has gotten to some of his people and a lot of the church doors have closed. There are a lot of churches that no longer are in existence, believe it or not. They have closed down just like businesses. So now it's even, you know, fewer churches. And believe it or not, yes, they did a survey and they found out that there are fewer churches out here. The church doors have closed and they did not reopen. And we can, you know, we can pretty much guess why. But nonetheless, is this the enemy's way, possibly, of keeping people out the church? And I'm going to start with you, Shanti.
Yes. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. I believe so. Like I said, well, I say it and it sounds a little funny to me every time I say it, but I'm serious. It's safer in the club. It's really gotten to the point. The enemy knows that 90% of people try to use anything as an excuse as to why they stay outside the church. So now I'm hearing about people in the church getting slapped or shot or taking my money or whatever it is, whatever it is. That's just another reason why I don't go to church. And now you're talking about people getting shot in the church. What more of a reason do you need to stay out the church? Now, my job could get shot up, but I'm still going to work. As long as there ain't no yellow tape tomorrow, I'm going to work tomorrow. My school can get shot up. My school can get shot up. I'm going to school. I need them two last credits in order to graduate. I'm going to school. But the church gets shot up. Oh, no, because it's supposed to be a place of this and that. And no, so I do agree that this is a way that the enemy is trying to make sure that people, even if you decide as the leader to open up the church doors, he's going to try to discourage as many members or people from walking across that doorstep. So, yes.
All righty, all righty. Pastor Sharman, what you thinking? You know, you always got this conspiracy theory brain. Could the enemy be conspiring to use this as a way to keep folk out the church?
I'm going to say yes, and also people using it as an excuse. So the enemy, we blame so much on the enemy, it'd be the people that didn't want to come no way. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to come just
Absolutely.
Because they just don't want to come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to the – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said absolutely. I'm agreeing with you.
And, you know, and they get to the place where we'll find any and every excuse. You know, my husband called them Wayfeather Christians. You know, it's raining. Oh, can't go. My fingernail. Oh, can't go. You know, can't nobody see my hand like this? You know, and it's where we decide that we want to either you want to be in it or not. So either you on the Lord's side or you don't want to. So we just keep making excuses. And that's one of the biggest problems. Stop making excuses. Be you. Like you said, pandemic, we start seeing some people who are really just like really out there. But that was always you. We only saw you once a week or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you have the opportunity. And now you're just showing who you really are. So we can't blame it all on the enemy. So yes and no for me.
Okay. All righty. Pastor Kale, you got the final word today.
Well, the way I look at it is that the enemy has just stirred up the enemy, meaning that the enemy didn't want to go anyway. And
right.
I just needed a reason not to go. So the enemy just kind of stirred up what I was feeling on the inside. And now watch. you know, the enemy can also do that to the pastor and to the preacher. Some of these buildings have shut down, not because they really had to, but they shut down because their enemy has gotten into the enemy, meaning that, look, you didn't have that many people in your church anyway. Now you got more people on Zoom, so why don't you just pastor from home? So now I'm going to shut down because that's what I wanted to do anyway, because the pastor said I keep on coming all the way across town for three people to sing, two of them can't sing, and one ain't paying tithes. You know, so if I can just stay home and preach the same word at home, then they can send in their tithes, the ones that's going to pay, to my Cash App. So the enemy disturbs the enemy, and the enemy just acts on it. And that's why the church is going the way it's going.
Okay. Thank you so much. My due time crew. I pray that each of you have a blessed day. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. Be blessed.
Thank you.
All of y'all have a blessed one as well.
Thank you. All right. Well, you know what time it is. It is time for us to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God, for allowing us to see a bright and beautiful day. Thank you for us being on this side of the grave door. Thank you, God. Thank you for the praise party that we can have, God, and we ain't even got to be in the church building, but the church are your people. And it's up to us as to how we want to serve you, when we want to praise you, when we want to worship you. And we give you thanks, God, that you have created an environment that no matter when we want to shout, no matter when we want to sing, no matter when we want to praise, no matter when we want to give you glory, God, we can. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just allowing us to be safe. You know, we cover stories like you can't come from a wedding and be safe. You're at a funeral and it ain't safe. You're in school, it's not. You're in church, it's just not safe anymore. And Lord, I hear you. Lord, I see. And we pray that every single individual who is watching, who is hearing, also sees what you're doing. A world that has said no is in utter chaos. We've watched this world deteriorate right before our eyes. And you are sending out the alarm that says you either serve me or you're a part of the chaos, one way or another. And we're grateful, God, that you have just watched over each and every one of us, that you have shielded us. Even though we've been in the midst of, you have just put us in your ark of safety. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for keeping us. And thank you for investing in us, God. So many just important points were brought out today, God, even whether it was in the news or even in our latter conversation about who we are as a people of the kingdom, in the kingdom. How do we think? What do we do in the time of crisis? What do we do when things just don't look or feel the way we feel it should look or feel? And we thank you, God, for sounding the alarm today in some of us. That even if we didn't consider some of these things, God, our eyes are open now. Lord, we're going to ask you to continue to bless Miss Ashley. As we don't know whether her family has a life hidden in you or not, but we do know one thing, that nothing that she's done, even from early years, she would have been able to accomplish without you. And as Shanti's talks and Vivian and the others talk to these young people, we pray, God, that they can impress it upon them to follow these same attributes, to follow these same habits. Because, see, if she didn't know you, but yet these children are getting to know you, that they have just that extra edge, that extra advantage. So we pray, God, that you not only continue to bless Miss Ashley and give her the desires of her heart, but we ask you just to draw her closer to you so she can fully acknowledge who it is that has allowed her to even walk in the realm of being accepted by every single Ivy League school. Lord, we ask that you put the words in their mouths to encourage our children to seek you first, and all of these things will be added unto their lives. We ask you, God, to continue to be with these children as they don't even have parents who are serving you, but you're drawing them. And we salute you, God, for that. That this is only a slight indication as to what she and they could do. That once we just pull it together and reconcile our life with your plan, put you first, we don't worry about what tomorrow brings. We don't worry about what food we got, what clothes, as your word says. Just don't worry about all of that. Because if the lilies of the field are fed and they do nothing, what would I do for you? Thank you, God. Lord, we're going to ask that you just reconcile Nigeria to be under your banner. That all of that chaos gets settled. That these people are just regular, everyday, normal people doing what everyday, normal, regular people do. And their lives are being disturbed. Well, if it's from an unrest in the country, God, we ask that you offer them an opportunity and they hear it, and that they would succumb to whatever it is you're giving them to do, that they would give way to your will and your way, and that you can bring peace in that land. And Lord, we're going to pray for this family who just lost mom, grandma, baby, and even the one who lost the gentleman, the father who murdered, who may not have seen this coming. We ask you that you just do a great healing, even in the children's lives who don't have their little sister anymore or their mother, and grandma just ain't the way she used to be. Lord, we know that you can heal, even from the craziest situations, that nothing stops your healing power. And Lord, we're just grateful that you have just shown us all of this, that we can appreciate who you are even more. That the church can be healed. That you will raise up your people and they will hear your call and just direct this land accordingly. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for calling on our name so we can do what we do. We ask you to be with Pastor Ed today, God, that we pray that he is healing properly and that everything is going well. We pray for our sister Tamika. We know nothing is wrong, but we just thank you for her willingness, and we thank you, God, for always sending that ram in the bush. And we pray for everyone who's listening, that they would just wake up and they would take heed to everything that you're giving forward. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I was thinking, you know, when I asked the question about the enemy. You know, that was my first question, actually. But I put the other question on the table first. And one of the thoughts that I had was exactly what was brought out. You know, the enemy is making this harder, you know, and because he knows us. Because he knows that all we need is a reason, just as was said. You know, Pascal put it, the inner me, because he knows us well. He knows us as a people well. He knows we're fickle. He knows that we're fly by night, as a elder Beard has said. He knows that, you know, all we need is for a little wind to go blowing by, and that's all it takes, is for us to have a reason not to go to church. You know, Pastor Carol brought up something really interesting about the pastors and the leaders of the church, and, you know, how it was more lucrative, possibly, if you want to use that word, for us to shut the door, and because it wasn't a whole lot happening, no way. And now build, quote unquote, a church on Facebook or social media, the internet, however you want to say it, YouTube, and, you know, you again think about how the enemy knows us. He knows that we're driven by money. He knows that we're driven by power. If I think I can get 5 more people on, you know, to watch me, opposed to actually come out, opposed to following what God says. You know, just doing what God says. We have to do what God says. We cannot work within the confines and the comfortability of our own thoughts, minds, and plans. I opened up with this. And there's such truth to all the things that all of the panelists have said today, all of the crew has said today, that, you know, we take our eye off the prize. You know, the enemy, see, here's the thing. The Bible already tells us that the weapon, you know, there's no weapon formed against us will prosper. So we know the weapon will be formed. But it's our job. You know, God can't stand. Remember I talked about Wonder Woman and the bracelets and her running back and forth across the group. And, you know, when the gunman, you know, who had the machine gun looked around, he was in amazement that no one was hit by any of his bullets. Because if anyone been hit with that rifle, they would have been gone. Well, that's how God protects us. But most times we move out of alignment. And that's how we receive a lot of the blows we get. Because we're not paying attention to being in the position. Yesterday we talked about positioning ourselves. I positioned myself. We can't expect God to do all the work. How do we know that? Because the word says faith without works is dead. You just can't stand believing that God's going to provide a job and you still in your house in your pajamas with a remote control or with a game control. You can't be expecting God to provide that job and you are on social media all day. It just don't work like that. So, come on, church folk. Come on. We can't control what the enemy does. But we can control how it affects us. We can control if we're a willing participant. And that was the point that I thought about. We are too willing to help the enemy accomplish his job. As was said, hey, yeah, he would do whatever he needs to do to help keep the doors closed. But what are you doing? What are you doing to let the enemy see that we are a determined body of Christ? We are a determined
determined group of people that no matter what, if we have to take and put the church together brick by brick with our bare hands, that that's what we're going to do. If we have to build God's church on the internal side, brick by brick, person by person, we will do it. And there's nothing that he can do to stop it. When are we going to get to that level? When are we going to stop showing the enemy that all he got to do is huff and puff and blow our house down? And half the time, he ain't even got to huff and puff. Just like Pastor Shauna said, oh, the nail broke. I can't let nobody see my hand like this. I got to go get my nails done before. So we prancing up in church late. Because I had to go out and party last night, I'm rolling up in church late, or I'm leaning over the chair, or I'm sleeping, or I'm not really paying attention. Like Shanti said, it's safe in the club. Because this world is so broken down that it's targeted even the church. And it's allowed, because that's what the enemy's people do, it's allowed, you know, the enemy to break them down, that life has broken them down, and now they're up in the church. And we have enabled them. We have helped them. We have pulled out the big red wagon, and we have asked them, like, come on in. Get on in the wagon. And we just doing what we do. So come on, people. Let's do what we got to do. Let's help the enemy keep him in the corner. Don't let him see that all he got to do is just ruffle a little feathers and then here we go. We got to be stronger than that. You know, the Bible says cowards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know I don't mean the kingdom where people going to heaven. You know? Let me rephrase that, because I don't want to buy success. That's them going to heaven. We're going to buy heaven. But we, people of God, will not enter into his kingdom. They will not be granted eternal life. So is that the side of the fence you want to be on? That's on you. That's on you. You've got to have that determined mind. You have got to have a made-up mind. You have got to make sure that ain't nothing going to separate you from the love of God. God has already made his commitment. God has already made his word and shown that his word is true. Now, what you going to do? Are you going to say it? And then when you look around, you will be over the corner on Weeping Willow. Yo, we ain't got no room for that. No room for that at all. So let's get it together and tell the enemy, bye-bye. I'm on a mission for the Lord. I want to hear, good and well done, my faithful servant, at the end of the day. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing on and signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for doing what they do best, preaching the word of the Lord. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and participating in our conversation. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life. Where is Wow Wednesday? I love you.